Optiver is Allison.
Hi, Allison Rendell speaking.
Hi.
Hi, can I talk to Chris Allison, please?
Sure, let me find him for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Chris speaking.
Hi, Chris Rendell.
Hi, Rendell.
Hi, good morning. I don't know quite what your positions were. How's it going?
Quite what the positions were? Which ones?
No, I mean in gammas and vegas, etc.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we still have a long skew position. That's our main position, let's say.
Okay.
And it's nowhere near as big as it was before. We have a slope. We had a slope risk of something like 40,000, I believe.
Okay.
So we'd reduced it a lot from, you know, the first week.
Yeah.
And we had spreads against each other in Russell and NASDAQ,
which
were pretty ugly, actually. And that's mainly in April's, and it's about Russell 2 points over, and we had, I think, 150,000 Vegas we had against each other.
Okay, but is it losing money now, or is it...
Yeah, today it's not so much, not so bad, but yesterday it was, yeah, pretty ugly, let's say.
Yeah, you still ended up in the plus. Yeah, in the end, I, Hans and I urged people to really buy gammas.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure whether it's going to work, but it was only up by half a point or 1 point at a certain stage.
Oh, it all got hammered and...
Very close to the end, yeah.
Okay.
And I think the trade-off is just too good. I mean, it might be a snowball thing.
Yeah.
And with the mortgages and the housing in America, and maybe nothing happens. But I think the odds are just too good. Let's say.
Yeah. It's actually gone pretty ugly for us today, to be honest. This morning when we opened, because the slopes in Europe are so much higher than over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the European vols, and because they'd been bid up loads before we opened, they were really higher than ours. So we talked to Paul that he was a little bit short, and we bought some, and both, it really worked, I think. Paul must have made decent money on it, because this really got hammered.
And I think Paul was quite lost some money, because he's also in a wrong spread and started with
some
short. But
that specific trade after...
Yeah, might have made money,
No, that specific trade after about 20 minutes was really good. And
it
cost us quite a bit here. Yeah. And then we talked about it, that we were going to no longer have it against him.
Yeah.
And so we a bit hacked out of some of that premium, and then it's
gone up again.
It went but down as we were hacking and ugly, and then we get short as it comes back up. So it's been a pretty, it's not been an exciting day today. So
yeah, okay, but it's not really loss making either, is it?
No. We should be in the plus. Pretty sure of that. But
yeah, okay, but my message is just don't. Yeah, okay, we've got enough already. I mean, they were quite aggressive in the end, so I think we played like 800,000 feet.
That is quite a lot. Yeah.
And I said, hands, I don't mind for the last 2 days to play 400 or 500 a day. I don't mind, but we stopped that.
Yeah, basically they get a little excited. Huh? You tell them you're encouraging too much.
Well, it was at least better than because at the certain stage we even were short and had a risk on the downside, which is just not
happening
at the moment.
No, I definitely don't want it.
Yeah, exactly. So you can trade. Yeah, I would be on the long side for you as well, but at least we have some. So
you're
free.
I know that you have a lot, so I can.
You can relax, but don't go short against it or anything.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for the other things, RBOBs, we have a reasonable size position now. We have like 1,400 long, something like that.
Okay, yeah.
So Farad's been desperate to and get that you can sell some RBOFs and attaches for while our positions are like, just killing us. And yeah, that's about all exciting. We're also trying to do some sell some crudes against it, let's say.
Yeah.
So we can have it again, like I said to you, so that we've got we're doing two things in opposite directions, and we try to push the spread more than just the market.
Yeah, exactly.
And in which case, if we depending on how big the RBOB position is, but let's say we had 3,000 RBOBs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I we talked about the 50 million if it's SEC beforehand.
Yeah.
But I think we can do 50 million just on their own. And 50 against the crudes beforehand.
But the RBOBs are the heating oils, eh?
The RBOBs is the gasoline.
The gasoline. But the gasoline and the crudes are
86%
well,
or something.
But it doesn't make sense actually to have then to have an opposite position in things that are correlated.
Well, you're actually the way I see it is this: you just it's. Potentially less profitable, but certainly, but that you could argue about, but it's certainly less risky. Because if you look at it like this, okay, if you do them both in the same direction, you've just got more power, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you look back this example more simple, that you have 100% or let's say, so the same product with just 2 months.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and of course the role is yeah, you build your own resistance by doing it against each other, of course.
That's right. But the so that's exactly correct, and that's why you don't want the time spreads against each other. Actually, that's a bit nasty.
Yeah.
But if we get to a position, if we have 3,000 RBOBs.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3,500, I believe, is around about the 250 million.
Yeah.
You're just massive. Then you're really big. So you don't need all of that in order to push it. If you had 1,000, you can really bully it around.
Yeah, okay, but you can bully it around more with more. I mean,
yeah, exactly. But the point is that what we talked about is what we think the risk is the ones you do before, of course.
Yeah, at least the biggest. Yeah,
yeah but also if you, let's say something bizarre happens and all our machines fall down and we can't even call brokers or something like this.
Yeah.
If we have two positions that are delta neutral against each other, that
lowers that risk of not being able to trade. I don't disagree there.
But
because with a high correlation, a lot of resistance comes from the crude.
But what you can do, of course, is let's say I have 3,000 crudes to do.
Yeah.
Instead of doing my 50 million beforehand, I do 100 million. And so let's say, and so what you could say is that the profit from doing it twice as big beforehand can be bigger than the amount of resistance you receive by having something opposite.
Yeah, possibly, of course, you don't know. You need to know more about the resistance you're encountering, actually. But
that's basically the situation. I mean, of course, Farad prefers to have the opposite position.
I might, well, at least like to know, let's say, if you are on the same side, and because you can, you take away a bit of your own resistance, at least that's how I like to look at it.
I told it to Farad, because we were... There was one where we had the full house, we had to buy we had to buy in crude, heating oil, and gasoline, and I really liked it, but Farad liked the opposing
position. Yeah, but
positions.
How was that day? How did it go?
Yeah, then we made a load, then we made 200 or something.
Because the crude is so, had the crude and the brands are the big one, but they provide so much resistance also in the other products, I can assume. That I'd like to, if I'm able to take some away there as well.
But I have to say, when we had the 1,000, when we had 1,000 RBOBs against 1,000, or I think it's 1,200 against 1,200, the RBOBs against the hose.
Yeah.
We also made 200 there.
Yeah, well, when you had opposite position.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not a clear cut yet.
So I don't swear for it yet. And what you have to, basically, you're just taking more of a gamble if you have them the same way as each other. And so the thing that's the deciding factor is really how powerful are we.
Yeah, but I agree that it's definitely more of a gamble, but of course it relies the entire idea relies on the fact or the assumption that we can move the market.
Yeah,
so
exactly. But what I'm sure of is we can move the gasoline market. Whether we can move the complex,
yeah,
that I'm not sure of.
Yeah. Well, but yeah. This is the stage you need to try.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to try. So when we have a good opportunity for it, then we should definitely try. But what I would say is, if you have a big gasoline against big oil, I'd be shocked if we don't make any money, if we don't make a load. Whereas if we have big and big, I still expect us to make a killing.
Yeah.
But I would be, let's put it this way, I would be more willing to manufacture a position opposite to each other. So trading it even to get it opposite each other. Rather than trading it even to get them in the same direction, but that's just
I don't know yet. I haven't seen enough to really judge.
But that's just it. Really, just comes from the crude. I'm still just a little bit cautious of the crude.
Yeah, you're a bit cautious, yeah. Well, yeah, okay, but the Brent, they in the end they didn't make much, I believe, because I think they made 38 again on the 38,000 on 2,400, but they had 300 rolls left because 300 came from the apes and that went almost the same against them. So, but again, they could move it with the
The Brents were really trying to get a big position now.
Okay.
One, because this Brent WTI spread, it would be nice to push that in our favor.
Yeah.
And secondly, because the actual volume trade in there today is nothing. So if we can have 1,000 there, we're already pretty big. So
okay.
I think we've got about 800 at the moment in the Brent position. So
okay. All right. Well, I'll leave you to it then.
Yeah, I'll speak to Marcel. I'll make sure he doesn't sell anything.
Well, yeah, sell it. Just stay on the long side if anything.
The other thing, we traded. I traded Google for about 40 minutes this morning with Lee.
Yeah, you wrote, that's how interesting it is.
Yeah, I still think it's interesting. I mean, you just made a couple of thousand in the period, like 9:30 till 10 o'clock or something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still see there being money there, so...
Doc is staying for 4 weeks at least in Amsterdam, right?
Yeah, I spoke to him yesterday, and I agree that it's not worthwhile coming over here for 2.5 weeks and then going back for 2.5 or something like this. It's
and even run the risk of them making it difficult for us. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
So hopefully we have the NASDAQ to act when by the time he gets back.
Yeah, that's what I told him as well. Then he's a bit happy as well.
Exactly.
Hopefully he's got some better by then.
Yeah. Oh, and you saw my my comments from the bonuses.
But they're nothing new, of course. And it's not just it was more the comment of hands that actually Jeroen and Bas should at least be the same.
Yeah.
But what I asked Harvey to give me another benchmark on the sales.
The thing is, there's a couple of things that I was thinking.
Yeah.
The first one is they don't have very much risk. That's what I said to you about yesterday. If you compare that to a broker, the guys that are sitting in that in-house, are really not carrying that much risk with them, basically.
Yeah, well, I have two questions to that. What is, for quite some spots as traders, what is the risk of Bas Peeters, for example? And secondly, what now is exactly the risk of a broker?
Well, he has a couple of things. One, if he doesn't perform as a salesman, he won't get any customers and therefore won't get any commission. And when he makes a mistake, he has to often pay for it out of his commission as well.
That can still be introduced in our scheme.
Yeah, that's one thing. The other thing I was thinking about was realistically, how much money do we make from prof trading?
Yeah.
And I think I've been thinking about it. I mean, I know some people. When I talk to Richard, for example, he will sell to you not much above zero for the sixth floor. I can't say anything about that, but from the fifth floor, I definitely see we make money on it.
Yeah.
My guess would be something in the order of 10 million around this, maybe on the high side for last year.
Yeah.
5 to 10 million, something like this. Yeah, if you, I'm just thinking about the highest amounts that they get, you know, so the top of their level.
Yeah.
If you're looking at a team of 10 salespeople.
Yeah.
And the top level is 400,000-500,000.
Yeah.
That it starts to get expensive, right? When they all get some experience.
Yeah, you need a bit more figures, but I hear and I heard it from Joop as well. Yeah, you've been talking to Joop because you both use the exact same argument.
Yeah, I've not been talking to Joop recently, but I've been talking to Joop 6 months ago or so about this subject.
Yeah, it was just a bit funny. I mean, you mentioned the risk thing, and I went through the list with him, and the first thing he said, yeah, it's still a bit expensive. Yeah, they don't run any risk.
No, we definitely talked about it. While I was in Amsterdam still.
Yeah.
And he complained about it while he was here, but I didn't want to talk about it then. I just told him I didn't want them particularly in America.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just. Yeah, what do they do?
But and the question for you, I mean, at least the remarks or Richard's remarks about he doesn't sell above zero, then why does he trade in the prof? I mean.
Yeah, he feels pressured to by Hans, he tells me.
Yeah.
That's literally his words, that he thinks that it's not viable. He thinks in some of the stocks it is, but in some of the smaller ones that we just, to try and get our name better, it costs quite some money. But
In some cases, I think Hans can definitely do some trades, let's say, at even money or so. I don't even think he will be throwing money away. But we definitely have quite some examples. We just make 20, 30 or 40 from a trade passing by.
Yeah.
And I don't expect a trader, at least not the way I know them, traders just not going to do, I'm not going to give away money. It's just so much against their their belief, let's say.
Yeah, I think at least when I was talking to Richard about it, when he was, because I was asking him about the prof over here and whether he wanted to really put some effort into it and things like this.
Yeah.
And the thing that he had most problems with was the smaller stocks where we're doing prof trades that are bigger than the open interest and as big as the volume traded on the day.
Yeah.
And that they look nice on the day, but 9 times out of 10 they don't end up being nice. But yeah, I really have no idea about it because I only see the prof trading on the fifth floor. I think it's a reasonable profitable activity.
Yeah, I'm not reasonable. I think it will definitely add to the value of the company. And
yeah,
of course we have to, and that's what of course we're working with. See how much added value there is and what percentages of them and together. But yeah, you either want them or you don't want them. And,
yeah, exactly. I mean, of course, the other thing is as well, if you have the model which we talked about with Patty, where she's really taking more responsibility and being closer to the traders.
Yeah.
And even getting to the point where she makes some decisions, yeah, then the discussion's just over, of course, right?
Well, it's at least less...
Because then none of the arguments that I've said hold anymore, right?
No, at least the two you mentioned are taken away.
Yeah.
And hopefully the four of mine still stands.
But, yeah. Okay.
But at least I got a benchmark because that's of course our strongest point. I mean, that is, yeah, you can, if we want them, and I definitely want them, I don't, we can still argue whether traders can do it, but I don't believe that. Yeah, then that's also their value. If, and also is in addition, they, yeah, we just make 15 or 20 million more in the end.
Yeah.
Then I don't understand the fuss actually.
Yeah, it's, I think, no. The first is, of course, people just seeing guys who have a real easy job, who sit on the internet a lot of the day.
Yeah, but that's just not true. I mean, if I see what they do all day, it's just a bit of a character flaw of traders. I mean, what they do themselves, they're brilliant.
Yeah.
And what sales people do, what IT people do, yeah, that shouldn't be so hard. It's their first...
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, everybody's doing the hardest job in the company.
Exactly.
Sure.
bit dumb or so. I'm sure IT people, but it's also one-way traffic, because I'm sure IT people sometimes see traders and think, I can do that.
Easy, yeah.
Yeah. And maybe they're right as well, but it's just, yeah.
No, but from my perspective, I definitely don't have that with the IT people.
No.
I see that if we have a good IT person, he's worth way more than we're paying him.
Yeah, but that also is not... I mean, do you agree actually with the policy that the market is leading? He's worth more, but yeah, the market doesn't say so.
No, exactly, but then the question is, of course, what do you compare to? And we compare in our salespeople to a broker.
No, not just a broker, also commercial and sales functions within the banks, etc. I find brokers only because I don't find them in the exact same position or so. So it's not just that. I definitely also want sales and investment bankers and all commercial positions within banks.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is you could also compare them to a salesperson who's selling just anything, huh? Paper clips or telephones or something like this. Because with the IT, that's often what you look at as well. You look at something that's a bit broader.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same as anything else. As soon as you mention finance in it, you put a sort of premium on what people are going to get paid, right?
Well, you don't want to, but it happens, I think. Yeah.
So that's also something to think about when you're benchmarking. The sort of the skills required for the job. Probably you have some people doing, very menial telephone work that are, getting five euros an hour to call people that have, more experience and all the right skills for the job.
No, I don't think so. I think the skills they need are different from those. But yeah, that's of course the basic of the difference of opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
That there's a skill set needed or the unity of the uniqueness.
Yeah, exactly.
Skill set.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely if they can understand the trading and they can add extra value in that way, then they definitely become more valuable. But I don't see that in huge quantities in the current group at the moment, at least. I see it on occasions. And then if you started to see that regularly, you would definitely, I don't even know whether that's what you want, but
but your weight is also skewed to the way your room does things, and that's also where we disagree. I think the Simon way of doing also just has more value in the long term.
But what do you mean by the Simon way of doing things, though?
Well, just the more, maybe it's more skewed, at least compared to Jeroen, to the opposite party.
Yeah.
And whereas Jeroen is more, or has learned to be more reacting on the trader's behalf.
Yeah.
At least for the trade at hand. And I think Simon builds more of a relationship. Yeah, and that doesn't pay off in the trade at hand, but possibly in the future.
Yeah.
There's very little, feeling or reward for, yourself or the people on the fifth.
Yeah, the problem I have with it is if my, if I didn't quote very well, I still wouldn't do any trades, no matter how nice those things are being sold. That's a bit the thing. The thing that I see making the most difference to the number of trades we do is just, how much myself and Hans now force the traders to just stick on their quotes and try and do as much as possible.
Yeah.
I really see that made I've not seen one sort of development where I've really thought, I'm excluding the things of going around and searching for people, because I definitely think that's valuable, and that's adding money to us. But in the bit of how friendly you are, how much side of the broker you take. Yeah.
But it's, I mean,
really
you all say that, or at least Yelp and use the acquisition part you sort of can see.
Yeah.
But there is, that's so limited, because it's not, I mean, Fika can bring somebody in because she's a girl and smiles friendly, but at pretty quickly already it has to be transferred to the guys on the phone who actually maintain the relationship.
Yeah.
That's the hard part. And believing that is easy, or that even worse, traders can do that, it's just a misconception.
Yeah.
I think we've got the same discussions all over.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's not gonna easily find a conclusion.
No.
Yeah. I'm quite resigned to it, so don't worry about it. I come back every 3 months or something.
Not probably every year, but...
exactly. Yeah, maybe now I'm further away, maybe I'd slow down a little bit.
But I think, because of your beliefs, and me nor Johan being able to convince you, but I do think that the prof trading works better when you're not around.
No.
And of course we still need to get some traders to because they you still live there, let's say, in their minds.
Yeah.
But I think it works better without you.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about that, but I also expected it to be going better. I mean, we have.
And of course there are more people, and with a prop trader that was a good, definitely a very good addition. So. And that came from you, so I know that.
We just have extra resources put to it now since I left, but that's...
Marlene really pushing.
Yeah, exactly. So I did expect the prof trading to improve in the last 6 months or something. But
yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay, well, anyway, get a benchmark.
I'm going to see what our position... I'm going to see what our position is going
on. Position and make sure we have profits around.
No worries.
Okay, talk to you later.
Bye.